It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's Burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
Hope everybody had a really good Mother's Day weekend. Hopefully you got a chance to speak to your mom, spend time with your mom, do whatever you possibly could to honor thy mother this weekend. Hope everybody had a great, great Mother's Day. You know, I had a chance to at least speak to my mom because we are like 6.5 hours away from each other. You know, making that journey is for just a day is a little difficult, but I did get a chance to speak to my mom. So happy Mother's Day to Julie. Pat, you have a message for your mother?
Yeah. Happy Mother's Day to my mom. I also get to speak to my mom yesterday. I also sent her some Sherry's berries for Mother's Day.
Nicely done.
Which she thoroughly enjoys every time I do. I mean, when you live multiple states apart, we had to speak for a little while yesterday and yeah, so it was good.
Yeah. You know, what's really annoying though, Pat, when you make a phone call to your mother and then 5 minutes into that phone call, your brother calls to your mom.
Oh yeah. That's, I mean, I don't have that problem, but, yeah. Yeah. Talked to both my grandmothers too.
So. Nice. Well, yeah. If you have that ability, I would suggest doing it and spending the time to do it, whatever's been going on or whatever, because your grandmothers are limited in the time that they're going to get with you, no matter if it's 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, right? So spend that time, make that phone call. I agree with you. Speaking of Mother's Day, we've got dueling Mother's Day statements that speak a lot to a couple of things that came from Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump over the weekend. And who could have seen a battle over legal immigration coming from the right? Because apparently that's now happening. Oh, and... our president decided to spend time at his beach house while literally terrorists were crossing the southern border. Is that bad, Pat?
Yeah, it's bad.
Oh, and then we have a reminder, by the way, of exactly what the people in the media and the aristocracy of this country think of you unwashed masses. So we're going to play that later on in the show. But as always, I'm Andrew Coppins. He is Pat Oney. This is Critical Thinking. Good Monday to you all. Thank you so much for tuning in, for watching us on our Rumble page, rumble.com/critical thinking. Again, rumble.com/critical thinking. You can also join the Critical Thinking community right there. You can click subscribe, and there's this locals button that says join right next to it. Do that as well. We are working on exactly what we want to do. How can we give you guys and gals and, well, tech roos out there, your extra bonus material. We're trying to figure out a way to do that and add actual value to your daily lives, or just a weekly thing that we're going to add value to. And once we do that, we'll have an announcement, but consider yourselves joined over there. You can do it for free. You can always help us if you feel so obliged. You can become a subscriber on that Locals channel. Again, that's criticalthinking.locals.com, or you can go to our Rumble page, click the join button. You can join for free there. You'll get the daily reminders of the show and all sorts of stuff for free. And we are working for behind the scenes for some ideas. So if you've got ideas, if you got things that you would like to see from us, let us know. Hit us up. I'm at the Coppin Show. He's at the Padone Show. DM us, quote tweet us, do whatever you would like to do when it comes to social media and getting a hold of us with your ideas for what you would like to see. If you were to help us maintain the show. So like we said up front, Pat, it was Mother's Day yesterday. So again, happy Mother's Day to all the moms, soon to be moms, and those who have had the unfortunate incident of having to bury a child. That can be a really difficult day because it's always that day that reminds them of the thing that they've lost. And to those individuals who have either lost them through gun violence or, you know, tragic accidents or a miscarriage or whatever have it, our thoughts are with you as well, because that is a very difficult reminder of something that you've lost. And hopefully it can be also a reminder of the joy that that child brought to your life or could have brought to your life, and try to pivot away from that sadness. But with that, we also saw, the obligatory Mother's Day, statements from everybody. And I'm not one to just go on social media and give these obligatory, happy Mother's Day things. It comes across phony. Because do you really mean it, or are you using this as just a marketing opportunity? And I hate when that happens. But there's no question, given what happened this past weekend in Iowa, of all places, Pat, that the 2024 presidential campaign is in full effect on the right. I mean, there's no question about it. We saw Ron DeSantis in Iowa. The same day Donald Trump was supposed to be in Iowa, there was a 10% chance. Meanwhile, not a single plane in or out of Des Moines was rerouted, canceled, grounded, anything, right? But Donald Trump managed to just not get on a plane. And then not speak at an outdoor gathering. And there was a tornado watch. Now, Pat, you've lived in the Midwest.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
When a tornado watch is in effect.
Uh-huh.
What's the difference between that and a tornado warning?
Well, in my experience, and I speak from my experience, a tornado watch is something that could potentially become a tornado. But a tornado warning is usually when a tornado is imminent.
Bingo, bongo, bango. Yeah. So a tornado watch is just simply the conditions are favorable for something like that to occur, maybe possibly somewhere down the line. Okay. A tornado warning comes into effect when radar, ground spotters, storm chasers, that sort of stuff, actually see a tornado formation. Not just the conditions are ripe. And the conditions, by the way, could be ripe with no rain in the mix. No really bad weather. It just could be that what you're seeing is the spinning of the atmosphere and the changing of wind directions and the wind shear, right? It could simply be that you are bumping up against two different wind directions, right? So you've got, let's say you've got one front coming in and the other kind of cutting across it. That can also cause tornadoes. But in the springtime in Iowa, a tornado watch, it was in effect for like four or five counties. And there was like a 10% chance of rain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no tornado really actually even touched down on the ground. There's a video out there of a tornado. It was actually just a cyclone. There's a difference between the two, by the way. A cyclone is a formation that never actually touches the ground. A tornado right. is one that does. There was a cyclone spotted, and that cyclone was spotted hundreds of miles away. Like, not even in the near vicinity, folks, of where Donald Trump was supposed to be. The rumor going around from my friends that live in and around that area is that there was just no great enthusiasm. Now, they said that there were a couple hundred people that had shown up at about 8 a.m. that morning. And when there weren't a, or when there wasn't a great line, okay, that's when Donald Trump pulled the plug. There was no big line to get into this event and whatever have you. The people that were going to be there were the people that were there. There was only a couple hundred people at that point in time. So let's say there was only going to be 1,000 people at this event. What is Donald Trump like? Big, huge rallies, right?
Right.
So what does he do?
See him canceling for that.
He decides to use the weather as the excuse. And for everybody in Team Trump, I know that he has not used the weather in the past as an excuse. He sat in the rain and delivered an address and done this and done that. I understand that. But there was no rain in that area. It didn't rain for more than like 30 minutes. So in the totality of the grand scheme of where he would have been and when this would have happened, there would have been no rain. There was no actual imminent threat of severe weather that they needed to cancel this for. This was insane. And then you can juxtapose that to the fact that Ron DeSantis showed up at one of the newer annual events that had about 650 to 700 people somewhere in that range. They sold out every single seat available at this. It was kind of like a family farm event, if you will. It's like, you know, they're cooking breakfast and da 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 da. So he shows up at this event and it's sold out. And then you can juxtapose that sold out crowd with the 200 people that showed up at, you know, 8 a.m. for the later in the afternoon rally that Donald Trump was going to do. But what did Ron DeSantis do, Pat? He then also showed up, plopped himself right down in the same spot where Donald Trump was supposed to have shown up. He did that impromptu. And then he showed up at another barbecue place later in the day impromptu. But that's not the point of everything that I wanted to get to, because the point of the matter is this. There's a juxtaposition going on, and it is inevitable that these two are going to clash. And what's going on online with, you know, Team MAGA Forever and Team DeSantis Can Do No Wrong. Holy Moses, I'm already exhausted by it, Pat. I'm to the point where I have to mute them all. Like, I literally can't stand it. It's just baseless grift after grift after grift after grift from both sides. You know, oh, look at all the paid influencers that DeSantis' team is getting. You mean like the literal hundreds of teenagers that they paid money to in the 2020 campaign for Donald Trump? Because newsflash, this is how you advertise in the new media landscape, folks. You are going to use influencers. You are going to attempt to get people to support you on TikTok and Instagram. Because why, Pat? That's where the people that are under the age of 65 are. That is how they are consuming media. That is how, this is not, I need to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on advertising, on Fox News. The average age of the Fox News person is 68 years old. You can spend maybe $1 million, $2 million on that and spend 10 times that amount on social media and have probably about 100x the influence and 100x the viewership. That's bang for your buck, folks. But that all notwithstanding, we got Mother's Day messages, Pat, because they, this is, you know, closing the circle here. Mother's Day messages, because you have to, right? You just have to put them out if you're a Donald Trump and if you're Ron DeSantis.
Do you have to put them out?
We're about to find out, because I would have suggested that the Donald Trump message. But that notwithstanding, they both decided to do this. And I'm just going to juxtapose them without comment right now. Here is what Donald Trump had to say on his Truth Social message for Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all, in particular, the mothers, wives, and lovers of the radical left, fascists, Marxists, and communists who are doing everything within their power to destroy and obliterate our once great country. Please make these complete lunatics and maniacs kinder, gentler, softer, and most importantly, smarter, so that we can quickly make America great again. Again, that's without comment, because then I want you to also see what Ron DeSantis' Mother's Day statement was. It was a tweet with a picture, Pat, and it just says, Madison, Mason, and Mamie are lucky to have the best mother in the world at Casey DeSantis. Thank you for all you do for our family. We love you very much. And it's a picture of Casey DeSantis, Ron DeSantis, and their three kids. And it looks like they are at a track and field event, and that looks like a steeplechase hurdle there, Pat. I believe Casey DeSantis is involved in track and field somehow too, but either way, Pat, simple question for you.
Uh-huh.
I gave you Ron DeSantis' message and Donald Trump's message. What is your initial thing that came to your head?
Donald Trump was all about politics. Ron DeSantis was all about Mother's Day. Very
simple. You are correct. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Also, one message is about love and the other is about hate.
Yep.
Now you could say, well, he was trying to get them to love. No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
No.
No, that's not true.
Also,
Pat. He could have said that very differently if it were about love.
But why?
What? There's no need to. That's my point.
It just makes you look like a jackass. I understand that. Okay, this is par for the course for Donald Trump, right? He cannot not just, poke the bear. He just cannot not do that. I don't know how you allow Donald Trump to put that statement out. Because here's the reality. Donald Trump might have his own fingers on the, or his thumbs on his Truth Social, but that's got to go through some layers, right? If not, what are you doing as a campaign? But the reality of the Mother's Day situation is that this is the juxtaposition that reminds that 40% of people who are not solidly one way or the other just how big of an ass he can be. How petty, how childish, how stupid he can be. And it's the thing that puts him off of other people. He has to attract more than just that MAGA base to win. That's the reality. There's not enough of the MAGA Forever crowd. There is a group of people, the vast majority of that, 75, 80 million people or whatever it was that voted for him in the last election, in the general election, the most amount of votes for any sitting president in U.S. history, the vast majority of them were likely those that held their nose and voted for him because the alternative was terrible. Right? And that alternative has turned out to be absolutely terrible for this country. But it reminds the American population over and over and over and over and over on repeat every single day that he does this of the things that drive them crazy about himself.
I mean, Could we also potentially make the argument here that the MAGA Forever base is smaller now than it was just a few years ago?
Oh, absolutely. Because there's a difference between MAGA Forever and Hold My Nose, right?
Right.
And I think the vast majority of the people that ended up voting for him were not MAGA Forever. And I think we're finding that out. Now, I guess if you are in that Trump campaign, how many people are actually on Truth Social? You're only speaking to your base at that point, your MAGA Forever base, really. The problem is that screenshots live forever, right? And that gets out everywhere. So I just, one layer, man, just one layer. It's very simple. I have a communications person in my campaign, right? That person is in charge of, hang on, hold up, wait a minute. I can't just do this if I want to. I got to at least filter it. And not what I'm saying, right? It's simple. Do I put this out or not? It's an unforced error. It's dumb. It's stupid. It reminds people of the worst of Donald Trump on a day that's just about joy and celebration for people who do a lot for families, for their communities. It's just...
Well, I mean, it's also, I think, a day of great pain for a lot of people, though, too. And to have something like that thrown out there.
Yeah.
That's like rubbing salt in the wound, essentially.
No mention of Melania. No mention of any of his children's mothers. No mention of his mom. No mention of anything. What the hell? That's the way that you chose to go on Mother's Day. All right. Speaking of what the hell, I've seen a lot of people say, you know, it is time to forgive and forget when it comes to the COVID-19 era, because, you know, now we've got the national emergency lifted, and, you know, people can now come into this country without having to be vaccinated first, right? So it is time for us to forgive and move forward. I just want you to remember this. And this was put together, I believe, by Tom Elliott on Twitter. Okay. This is your reminder of what people had to say about you, who dared to question the science, dared to question the data, dared to suggest to yourself that maybe I don't want to put something into my body that I'm not so sure of yet.
When the chips are down, these civilized people, they'll eat each other.
You are the unvaccinated. You are the problem. It is the unvaccinated who are the problem, period, end of story.
The only people that you can blame, this isn't shaming, this is the truth. Maybe they should be shamed, are the unvaccinated.
It's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks, not the regular folks.
Anyone you came into contact with will blame you, as will the rest of us who have done the right thing by getting vaccinated.
Because frankly, we know that we can't trust the unvaccinated.
I think it's time to get our moral house in order, Anderson. It's the unvaccinated who are the threat.
All those vaccinated folks are going to start wearing masks to protect the unvaccinated folks. It's called a Christian value.
You're basically punishing the vaccinated for the sins of the unvaccinated.
People are not behaving honorably. The unvaccinated are basically saying, well, it's open season for me. I can do whatever I want as well.
The unvaccinated are basically beating their breasts, running around the country saying, we don't care, we're living free, and so forth.
We've been patient. But our patience is wearing thin.
The unvaccinated, a group that includes children and people acting like children. And the rest of us are starting to get pissed off.
The vaccinated feel the unvaccinated are making me upset or angry.
This is not about...
This goes on for another 2+ minutes. We just can't play all of it because, number one, that violates guidelines. But I just can't take it. Pat, juxtaposition has been the key word. Let me juxtapose that, right, with the knowledge that just came out this weekend a new piece of data that comes out from the UK. They continue to study vaccination unvaccinated. I'm 41 years old, sooner than later to be 42, right? In my age group, which is, you know, that's the end of Gen X and the beginning of the millennial generation, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. In this age group, 40 to 49, in the last 6 months, as they study those who are at least 3 to 6 months out of either having a vaccination or they are completely unvaccinated, 85% of hospitalizations with COVID-19. 85% with, again, with, not from. So this is as broad of a stroke as you could possibly paint, right? Broad of a brush of, you know, catching every single thing in this group, right? 85% in the UK with COVID-19 are the vaccinated. I'm going to say that again. 85% of those 40 to 49 who have been hospitalized with COVID-19 over the last 6 months, vaccinated. Now, you could argue, well, of course that number would be that way because they had, what, 85, 90% vaccination, not hesitancy, but vaccination acceptance, right? 85, 90% of the adult population got vaccinated. That's fine, but how many of them got a booster? How many of them got the fourth? How many of them got the fifth? So it doesn't matter the percentage that got originally, quote unquote, vaccinated. If these things worked on any level, this wouldn't happen. This would not happen. And this is from a country that did, I believe, AstraZeneca for a while, Moderna for a while. And by the way, Moderna is a company that we gave carte blanche to, right? In the West, we gave them immunity. We gave them the ability to use these vaccines, right? Having never produced an actual medicine that worked ever before. I can make the argument they still have not produced a vaccine that actually works. Because this does nothing. It literally doesn't prevent transmission. It doesn't prevent you from getting sick. Otherwise, we wouldn't see 85% of this age range with COVID in the hospital.
And so that being said, you mentioned this whole idea of forgive and forget. I will forgive after we've had our Nuremberg trial and held those responsible that need to be held responsible.
All right. So all of that being said, Pat, I think it's a great time for us to play a little bit of the B or not the B. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm very ready.
Are you sure?
I'm always ready for this.
All right, lay that headline on me.
All righty, today's headline, Biden heads to beach house to recuperate after grueling five-hour work week. Biden heads to beach house to recuperate after grueling five-hour work week. Is this the B or not the B? That is the question. And folks, it is a Monday morning, so giving Andrew a second to think about this. Let him get caught up. Go to coffeebrandcoffee.com. Get that morning pick-me-up. Get that week pick-me-up that you're going to need to get you through the week. They've got all sorts of different great flavors over there. I highly recommend getting a flavor that you're going to like. Getting a flavor that you've always wanted to try. Highly recommend doing it that way. If you're not a coffee drinker, they've got options like tea and hot chocolate that you can also check out as well. So you don't have to stick to with just the coffee. By the way, this also could have made a great Mother's Day gift if your mom's super into coffee type of a deal. With Father's Day coming up, same thing. Could also make a great Father's Day gift that way as well. All you need to do is go to coffeebrandcoffee.com, use the promo code CriticalThinking at checkout, and you'll get 5% off your purchase. Everything is freshly shipped to your door. They don't care about your politics. They don't care about how you're voting. They don't care about any of that stuff. They just care about making you a good product because, like any good business, they want to continue to thrive. They want to continue to grow. And by doing so, they have to be able to provide that product and a good quality product. So, again, go to coffeebrandcoffee.com. Use the promo code CriticalThinking at checkout, and you'll get 5% off your purchase today. All right. Biden heads to beach house to recuperate after grueling five-hour work week. Andrew Coppins, is this the Bee or not the Bee?
All right, so obviously this is the Babylon Bee, but have you noticed a switch in kind of how they're doing their headlines as of late in their stories?
How do you mean?
You notice that they are taking things that are actually happening and then satirizing them. Like, they're not just being predictive. Mm-hmm. They're going more oniony, if you know what I mean. Like, things that are happening in the news. The previous 2 years, right, the Babylon Bee has always been about taking something that might be in the news or might in the future be in the news. And and so, like, let's say a great example of this might be Drag Queen Story Hour, right? But then they might have satirized it about how they're actually just pole dancing for kids, right?
Yeah.
Except for then that pole dancing happens and they became prophetic, right?
Right.
Okay. Now what they're doing is taking a story that is actually happening in the news and not predictive analysis, right? Or predictive satirization. They are just doing the absurd with that news. Do you notice that? Like, this is a great example of this. What they're actually doing here is, guess what? He is going to his beach house. He has spent 40% of his time in office on vacation while we've got the southern border crisis happening, right?
Right.
So what are they doing? All they're doing is taking the real story and turning it and twisting it, which is what The Onion has done for decades at this point. It's an interesting switch, I think. And I wonder why they're doing it, if not to just protect themselves from a lawsuit.
I don't know. I couldn't
answer. I wonder if there's, like, I don't know if they see it or are intentionally attempting to do it.
I have a question on this one, though. Does Biden really work a five-hour work week? Does he even get 5 hours of work?
I could literally see this being a, like, infomercial for some sort of drug, right? Mm-hmm. If you struggle to get to a five-hour work week, take this pill. Come on. That's where the Babylon Bee should have gone with this. That's what I would have done with it. I would have done a video on it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking, like, you struggle to get through your eight hours a day at work. You know, this pill or that pill. That's what I would have done. AstraZeneca or Moderna or Pfizer.
Joe Biden's dementia medication.
Correct. Yeah, but I mean, this is hilarious because it's also partially true, which brings us to the second story that we wanted to really kind of talk about here. Third story, which is the immigration story. Because I don't understand how the president, I mean, I understand how Joe Biden is doing this, right? He goes on vacation and he goes on vacation just as Title 42 is taken away. Now, we did get a good federal judge ruling in which they cannot just release people. They must keep them in custody while they adjudicate. So a federal judge in Florida blocked this, the ability to just release these people. But it creates a problem because now where are you housing these individuals? Okay. But Title 42 ends, And we've talked about that ad nauseum. I did, especially last week. Again, I ask those who are on America First Law and Order, what piece of law and order exists that Title 42 should have been extended? What is it used for? What is it? What language exists in the law? You tell me where this exists, other than you using your abusing law and order for your political will. Now, I can make an argument that political will is always trumped actual law. I can make that case. We see it all the time, right? How do you allow sanctuary cities, counties, and states, right? How do you allow those things to happen? But all that notwithstanding, Pat, I do not understand how a quote-unquote controlled Joe Biden just pisses off to his beach house while literally tens of thousands of illegal immigrants, cross the border. Most of them, by the way, single individuals. Most of them predominantly fighting age, if you will, right? That's just a weird coincidence. It's not like, we're seeing families just crossing the border. And by the way, we already knew this existed, but in California's southern border, they luckily ended up capturing, but the dude got across the border, a Afghan national. How the hell did that happen, Pat? Pretty sure they got to cross a damn ocean to get here, right?
Oh, yeah, somehow.
Crossed the southern border in Yuma, not Yuma City, but in and around San Diego, okay? Crossed the southern border. Turns out he's not just an Afghan national. He's on the FBI's terrorist watch list.
Oh, boy.
By the way, he's not the first, not the last, not the 10th to last, not the 100th to last. Just so you are aware of what is happening at the southern border, the absolute dereliction of a duty of sovereignty that is existing on the border policy. We are literally allowing terrorists, criminals, cartel members, all of those types of individuals just to right across our southern border.
To answer your question, I mean, does this administration, have they ever really cared or made the southern border a priority at all?
No, but I don't understand how. So this is what I don't understand. This, even if you don't care, all you have to do is show the minimal amount. And the minimal amount is, I'm not going on vacation. You message, right? You just say, President Biden is going to be here at the White House to coordinate any efforts on the southern border, right? President Biden is staying. He is foregoing based off of the information coming from the southern border, right? Mm-hmm. Even if he's not doing that, even if that's not really what's happening, you can message that. You can hide him away while the rest of the administration literally turns a blind eye, right? But instead, the moment that this crisis is at its greatest level of all time, you are on a beach at your beach house doing God knows what while this is happening. It's just stupid, stupid optics. It's an unforced error. Doesn't need to happen. It's a very simple fix. Okay, well, we know that on Thursday, President Biden has been scheduled to do this, right? On Thursday, the day that this is being lifted, the national order is being lifted, right? The national emergency is being lifted. Title 42 is being lifted. We understand that there's a potential crisis at our border, and President Biden stands here at the ready to help and facilitate what needs to be done to hopefully stem the tide. Shut up and throw away the key. He just doesn't go. That's a pretty simple, minimal thing. Yet they literally just flip the double bird. But on the right, Pat, because you didn't think the right was innocent in all this, do you?
No, never have.
Oh, okay. Well, on the right, we have now decided wait for this, Pat, that not only is illegal immigration and the crisis at the southern border really bad for America and American sovereignty and security, by the way, that's why I pointed out that the person on the terrorist watch list. Now, we're lucky that the FBI and the Border Patrol and ICE caught the individual after he had crossed the border. But that's one out of, what, 100? That's the needle in the haystack that they found. How many other individuals have crossed the border that they don't know about? Our argument, and at least my argument, has been, and I talked about this last week, very simply this. You fix the illegal immigration problem by fixing and securing the legal immigration process. You make it, on the one hand, as simple and secure as possible to legally immigrate here. You make it so that employers can benefit. You make it so that the American people can benefit. You make it so that there are secure checks of individuals, right? And you streamline the process for legal immigration. The tens and tens and tens and tens and tens, 50, 60, 70, 80, some cases $100,000 that it could cost you to get over here legally, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where that incentive for illegal immigration exists. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to cross. I'm going to ask for forgiveness instead of permission. That's just, we need to flip it on its head. And you fix the illegal immigration problem by fixing legal immigration. That's been my argument. I believe, Pat, that you believe in that region. Like, we have a broken legal immigration system. There's no question about that.
No, yeah, no question about it. And I think I'm within that region. So, like, my position has always been, we have a right to know who's coming into our house. And just like literally your house, you have a right to know who is at your front door and wanting to enter your home. And then you have the right to say, hey, no, yes or no, based on what you know about that individual. So that's always where I've stood on it. And it's disturbing that, you know, there are those on the right that don't hold that position, that believe it should just be an open border. And I'm like, now you're just spitting in all the faces of people who have actually come here legally and saying, well, you could have just come here illegally and nothing would have happened. They did it the right way and put in all that effort, and then it's just a slap in the face.
Right. So how do you fix that, right? You have to fix the legal immigration system but apparently now on the right, Pat, legal immigration is a problem. This comes from Pedro L. Gonzalez. Mass legal immigration is no less harmful than mass illegal immigration. It is no less harmful to American communities, American workers, and their wages, and ultimately to American sovereignty. You've already lost if you're concerned what the left thinks about you. As I tweeted on this one, by the by, this is the most insane take on immigration I have ever seen. Holy bleep. How can one be this naive? Were your immigrant ancestors harmful to America? Did they hurt wages and make America worse? Pretty sure their willingness to come here helped you get to where you are today. We have our ancestors to thank. They took, in many, many cases, Pat, the ultimate chance. Coming here penniless or $5, or how many stories have we heard about people coming here with $20, $100, whatever, in their pocket after saving up for that ticket to get here, right? Mm-hmm. To legally come here in the old system of immigration, which was literally mass migration, right?
Yep.
Literally, that's what it was. It was, if you have the money to get here and you can prove whom you are when you get here, you get in.
This is a lack of self-awareness, I think, on Pedro Gonzalez's part.
Yeah. Pedro Gonzalez. Pretty sure your ancestors didn't get here on the Mayflower. And also, I am pretty sure they weren't, how shall we say this, here before the Mayflower. So at some point in time in between there, you had to wait on this one, have your family immigrate here. Just asking, just saying. Mm-hmm. This is the most nativist bullshit I have ever seen. And it's the most disgusting part of the rights argument on immigration right now. That's why I can't subscribe to it. It hurts America, American wages. Did you or do you not understand what the immigrant from Ireland, the immigrant from Italy went through? Do you not understand the immigrants from Africa, by the way, what they went through? The people who were not slaves but immigrated here, because they're still coming from Africa, despite that horrific slavery history in the United States of America. Do you not understand the small business owners that exist because of immigration? The backbones of our communities because of immigration, because they did it legally. The a great example of this is how many Korean or Chinese immigrants have come here and begun businesses and began to build a foundation for the next generation and then the generation after them, which you are probably third or second generation, by the way, Pedro, right? You are where you are because of your ancestors' ability to get here. Where would you be elsewhere? What would you be doing? Would you even exist? I mean, this is literally the playbook of the, what the hell was the party in the 1880s and 90s, Pat? Do you know what I'm talking about? Is it the Know-Nothings? It literally the nativists, I believe it was the Know-Nothing Party, right?
I think you're right. I'm not 100% sure, but I think you're right.
It's just unbelievable.
It was the nativist political party movement in the United States in the mid 1850s.
Yeah. Either way, there were so many nativist political. This is the position of literally the people who rounded up, beat up, murdered Italian immigrants, Irish immigrants, German immigrants for not being white. They didn't consider them to be white, let alone worthy of immigration status into this country. Yet they formed the backbone of what becomes America in the 20th and 21st century. So does your ancestors and the Hispanic immigrant. So does the Asian immigrant and the African immigrant. They all become the backbone of what our society became. We are, in no unequivocal terms, better for those who legally immigrate here. But Pat, he has a very different argument to make, because check this out. Pedro Gonzalez continues, noting 1 billion legal immigrants is no less destructive than 1 billion illegal ones. The former just makes the absurdity legal, but it is still an absurdity. You're right. It is an absurdity. It is an absolutely absurd suggestion that we're just going to let 1 billion people in here. That's not what anybody is talking about.
No one's arguing talking about that. Yeah.
Nobody. There's a number. There's, a system that should be in place that says, okay. And as a libertarian, I can't stand the position of that's harmful to America. He goes on to talk about how people are taking their jobs. And the illegal or legal immigrant is taking their jobs for cheaper. Now, it should be to the economic benefit of everybody to compete. And what do I mean by compete? A lot of the times they're attracting these workers to come here to the United States because they're the best and brightest. In some cases, they might be a little cheaper, but you're still inviting them to come here, paying all of the fees and all of the things to get them to come here, right? The work visa fees and all of that sort of stuff. That can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars at times, depending on what it is, to get them in, get them in here. And then maybe they pay them just a little bit less than they're going to pay you. But overall, it might actually cost them more in some cases because of all of the things it took to get them here. In our current legal immigration system, I don't understand it. I really don't.
I'm with you. This is again, lack of self-awareness on Pedro's part. And this whole thread is complete and total asinine. It's asinine logic.
Let me be abundantly clear on this. If you believe this to be true, if you believe that legal immigration is as dangerous as illegal immigration to this country, we're not on the same side. Period. Point blank. You're not somebody I'm going to form a fellowship with. I want nothing to do with you. You're a nativist. Literally as bad as the eugenicists of the early 19th or 20th century, I should say, not 19th, early 20th century. You are as bad. If you don't know the history of nativism in this country, look it the hell up and pay the hell attention. They were literally murdering people for coming here, for being different, for picking their gerbs. What the hell is that in the 21st century? My mind is blown by anybody who holds that position. Now, I also found it funny that Hank Johnson, the guy who wanted to let you know that Guam would tip over and capsize, also said the quiet part out loud about how if you don't allow these people over the border, how are we supposed to have the people cleaning our rooms and homes and doing the dishes and picking our crops?
Racist much?
And by the way, Hank Johnson is wait for this, black.
Right. Talk about a racist elitist attitude.
As if that's the only thing that an immigrant would want to do here in America.
Right.
Or could do here in America. You know, they couldn't start multiple small businesses. They couldn't build successful lives for their families. This is disgusting. And if you are peddling this kind of crap, I want nothing to do with you.
When I first got out of college, I worked at a warehouse, and I worked with a lot of immigrants, right?
Yeah.
And when I got a chance with them, like on one-on-one, a lot of times I would just have a polite conversation of, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with your life? Like, is this it, or what are you here for? And one of them actually told me, and I thought this was just, it was simple but fascinating to me at the time. He's like, I want to cut hair. I want to become a barber. I want to own my own shop and cut hair. And I don't know if he achieved that dream since then or not, but that's – I hope he did. I sincerely hope he did.
Mm-hmm. We should be – this is the thing that I don't understand. If you are actually a capitalist or a free marketeer, right, believing in free markets, you should want every single person who wants to achieve their own dreams to come here. Because guess what happens when that person is working hard to attempt to achieve a dream for themselves or to pay it forward to that next generation?
It
we benefits, all benefit.
Yeah, it benefits the community too.
Yeah. This is absolutely the most asinine thing I have ever seen from somebody on the right. The most asinine. Especially with somebody with some level of influence, by the way. What the absolute hell is this? With that, Pat, your final thoughts on today's show.
Don't get lost. Remember who you are. No means no. And Joe Biden actually works closer to a 30-minute work week than a 5-hour work week.
Please be smart, be safe, be kind, make sure you eat all of your meals today, and pay it forward. As always, Matthew 5:47.